Hey, what's up, everybody? Juan Martinez, aka Dr. Love, and you've just joined us on This Is Real. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for tuning in to This Is Real with Pastor Juan Martinez, aka Dr. Love.
And I'm Pastor Ernesto, aka Truth Teller.
And man, you know what? We got a pretty good show today. I'm just always grateful for all the people who like, subscribe, you know, all those things on the YouTube channel that I don't really know how to say. But you know, like it, subscribe it, share it. We want to thank all the real ones. You know, this is a show with real people, real problems, and real solutions. And so today we got a topic. Come on. Think it's a hot topic.
It is.
It's a hot topic. And so the title of the thing would be "When You're Tired of Pretending Everything Is Okay."
Yeah.
When you're tired of pretending that everything's okay.
I'm feeling your new setup, man.
You like it? Yes, you're blessing the studio.
I'm like,
yeah, this is dope. Yeah, they did a really good job, man, at bringing this to life. And so, let me throw this in there. Don't forget to pre-order the That's Crazy, No, That's God book. Finally finished.
Come on.
So that was dope. I need your help getting those pre-order sales up. I'm really thinking that most of the proceeds, you know, I really haven't put this out there, so I'm going to kind of put it out there just to push myself over the thing. But most of the proceeds are going to go towards wanting to obtain a home for guys that get out of prison. So buy the book. You know, I'm believing if I could come up with $200,000 and I could just buy the house and not owe anything, amen, that would be incredible. Maybe with some land where we could buy extra homes. Or if you want to write a check and just help us buy the house. But
come on,
buy the book. There's going to be some cool things coming your way. Just watch for it on the post and stuff. Follow the page. And pretty much we're going to be giving away giveaways and all kinds of cool stuff. So, okay, let me come back to the topic. This is where sometimes, you know, Pastor Stephanie, right? She's all the details one. Man, I'll be forgetting, you know. And then I'm like, oh, I forgot to say. Okay, but when you're tired of pretending everything's okay, right? Tired of, you know, I mean, people got to be tired of wearing a mask, the pressure to always be strong, right? And I think people need to find freedom and honesty, you know, because the big idea here is that God doesn't bless who you pretend to be. He blesses the real you. I mean, doesn't pretend that. And I think sometimes we have to figure out, you know, that in your honesty is really where freedom begins.
He can't even change who you ain't.
Yeah, you know, talk about it.
You gotta be you gotta be honest and true with who you are and where you're at for him to transform. It's like the whole confession thing, right? He can't. I believe that that's why he asked the people who he came to heal to, like, what's wrong with you?
All day long,
he needed them to acknowledge, hey, this is where I'm at in life, because he's God. He knew, so he needed them to acknowledge where they were at in life in order for him to work. Because sometimes we're unwilling to acknowledge, you know, to identify where we're at. But I think it's also a stigma.
Yeah.
A Christian stigma.
Well, I think I remember, like, you know, starting off and I wholeheartedly believe that a lot of times when you see in the Bible these, you know, people are like, I wish I was dead, you know, or like, I'm paraphrasing, but you know, because of all the stuff he's going through, he still knew, but who could rescue me from this body that Jesus, like, so he still knew this, but he was real and raw enough to actually say, this is where I'm at. Yeah. David, right? He's like, yo, I messed up. Like, this is where I'm at. He got to get busted a little bit with the prophet, you know, but I think a lot of times we say that, oh, I wish, you know, you would be honest.
Yeah.
But then when people are honest.
Yeah, they're like,
right?
What the heck?
Because I know, like, in, like, let's say my marriage, like, that was different, very difficult, and but very rewarding. Amen. So what I'm saying is, like, in the beginning, being honest with, like, yo, this is how I'm really feeling, or whatever, whether it was sex, whatever the topic was, being straight up, this is how I'm feeling right now. You know, because in the world, you don't do that.
No.
At all, right?
You fake the funk.
Yeah, you like, I'm great. Everything's fine. You know, no, I'm not feeling it. Then something happens.
Yeah.
And then the excuses, because I hear this a lot in couples, where it says, like, I always veer towards marriage, right? But it says, that's what's real for me. Like, when you say, like, yo, like, let's say you're like, you know, I'm horny or something, right? And that, what, you know, the whole argument starts, because that's really how it starts until you get it right. So then after that, you hear people say, well, I don't say nothing because if I say it, it's going to start a big argument. That's the number one thing.
Facts.
So I think, like, a lot of times in church culture, right, we're like, hey, come as you are, be honest, you know, like we're praying for the prostitute, and then the prostitute comes and you're like, look at that prostitute. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's like, and she can't actually say, yo, I'm still tripping. Like, yeah, I'm in trouble.
I need help, yeah.
Because then,
and that's why I'm here.
People start, you know, they just label you. Like, yeah, they give you that identity because our identity is in Christ, but there's a process of you changing. And so we come with all these masks. And we actually saw it not long ago, right? Yeah. We were sitting in a setting. I had asked somebody, yo, how you doing? And they go, good. And so when somebody tells me that, because I think that's real cliche-ish too, so I always like, when people ask me, you're 30 minutes in, right? I'm like, good, you want to know how I'm doing? Here we go. You know, but when I ask people, they go, good, right? And when they say, yo, I'm doing good. And then in this case, I go, well, tell me what good is, because good could be anything. And then this person just starts crying, right? I mean, you were there.
Yeah, started
crying. And then all of a sudden, she was doing so bad. And I'm like, well, why'd you say good? Like, it's like the thing to say. Why do you think people do that? Why do you think, like, how you doing, blessed?
Yeah. But I, like I said, I think it's kind of like a stigma that we've created. Because I even seen it, like, people passing. There was a situation where somebody lost somebody who was really significant in their life, and I was just, I was weirded out by the fact that they were like not willing to share or go through the emotions. And I was like, you know, it's okay. You know, it's okay to be sad. It's okay to grieve, you know. And it's almost like as Christians, we're not supposed to feel or something. You know what I mean?
Facts.
It's kind of like a stigma that, hey, no, you're not supposed to go through feelings. You're not supposed to be upset. You're not supposed to be sad. You're supposed to trust God. But nah, these are real feelings that God has given you.
Yes.
You know, Jesus wept. You know, God was sorrowful. So it's important to know that God gave us these feelings and emotions because they also indicate who we are. They indicate what's going on in our heart. They reveal things. They show us where we're at. Sometimes they show us where we're lacking in trust and faith in God. But it's important that we acknowledge that we have these feelings so we could grow and know where we're at in life.
All day long. You know, and I constantly say this, like, feelings are an indicator of what's going on in your heart. It's kind of like you're not led by the feeling, because the truth is the truth, and the truth always trumps the feeling, amen, right? Which is what happens, right? When let's say, in grieving, you got to let a person grieve.
Yeah.
But you don't want them to sink to where they want to jump off a bridge. So you need somebody that's in the right state of mind, sound mind, wise counsel, something that comfort you and be like, yo, it's going to be okay, da-da-da-da. But they allow you to grieve, but they don't let you jump off a bridge, I guess. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? The goal is to keep you kind of going, right? And only ones in their sound mind. You know, I think I heard Chris Hodges a long time ago from Church of the Highlands. It's the guy in Alabama. He's got all these churches, right? Thousands and thousands. And I heard him say that. I think he has a book called Fresh Air. Really good book. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. I read it years ago, maybe like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was cool because he said, you know, he was real open and honest. He was vulnerable.
Yeah.
In this book. And he was like, you know, because you look at sometimes people like that and you think, oh, they don't go through nothing.
Yeah,
that's
what
everybody thinks, that you're in your house. Oh, Pastor Nestor's flying around his house. The angels of the Lord. He wakes up with the fresh breath, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so this guy, he admits that, you know, he was big time depression. He's a pastor. Hey, looking from the outside, he said, like, on top of the world, right? Everybody's like, wow, there's thousands of members, right? But on the inside, he went through this great depression. And he said, when he was going through that depression, look at this, is powerful, bro.
Yeah.
This is the power of having close friends, wise counsel, and knowing, trusting enough the Jesus in them. Because what he says is, he says, look, for like 90 days, I didn't make no decisions.
I remember you telling about that.
He said, when I had to make decisions, I would go to the people that weren't depressed because I knew my feelings were all over the place. So I didn't want to make important decisions based on feelings. Because remember, it's what you're going through. You're feeling this way. Feelings don't always equate to truth.
Facts.
Right? But they're feelings and they're real. So they show you the gas light is low.
Yeah.
So he says that. And I thought to myself, wow, that's so powerful. Because even if you look at it from the aspect of your feelings and you're looking at all this stuff, you could always go to the Word and feed yourself truth to keep yourself stable so you don't jump over it, right?
Yeah.
Which is what a friend usually does. But I thought it was cool that he had friends that were like, nah, make this decision.
That's important. Even like that, I experienced that in my season.
Yeah.
You know, where I was feeling all kinds of craziness, but I had you. I had people in my life that say, hey, do this and do this and don't do that, you know, and I might have bucked a little bit, but it's so resourceful.
But even that's normal.
Yeah.
So for somebody, because even that's powerful right there, because I remember the buck, right? I remember. But it was a buck with an honoring after, you know, like it yeah. didn't, like buck, you know? Yeah. And I think even you were aware, like, man, I'm sorry, it's just that, you know, I'm feeling like this. Shipping. So I think that's important to, from the other side, right? Because as much as you're receiving wise counsel, I have to not look at you, oh, well, he's like this.
Yeah.
Because he's going through something that he's feeling a lot and he's actually bucking.
Yeah.
But he's bucking because he's feeling like that. And we got to give enough room, I feel like enough mercy and grace to cover you in that season. Not allow you to just do whatever, but to say, well, yeah, of course he's feeling like that. Of course he's feeling like that.
Yeah,
of course.
It's a process.
Yeah.
I think, man, even the sense of, like, you know, like I was telling you earlier, that I feel like there's levels to, like, where we're, you know, what is the topic is trying to be somewhere we're not.
When you're tired of pretending everything's okay. Yeah, tired of
pretending. Like, I remember when I first got saved, it felt like I almost had to be perfect. You know, like, and if I was a little bit imperfect, or if I confessed what I was struggling with, I would get judged, you know, or I would, like, what? You know, like, it was almost like we set this expectation on people as soon as they confess that they're Christians and forget about the whole process of growing.
Of discipleship.
Yeah, of discipleship, of even the whole fact of them moving from babies in Christ to teenagers in Christ to adults in Christ. Like, I feel like sometimes we just eliminate that altogether. And somebody says, I'm a Christian. Well, all of a sudden, you got to be like this. You know what I mean? Yeah,
you got to be 35. Yeah. And it's funny because you've heard me use it in the context of, like let's say, raising a human.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And imagine, like, a person was trying, like, the baby was trying to walk. And you saw somebody go, you fell again? Yeah. What the hell's wrong with you? Right? You'd be like, man, running? That's so harsh. Yeah. Think about it. You saw somebody in the hallway, like, yelling at a baby because they were learning to walk and they kept falling.
Yeah.
You would think, that is so harsh, right? Yeah. You would be like, bro, chill with that. That's a baby.
It's inconsiderate.
But as adults, we don't think that.
Yeah.
Right? And even in growing up, a teenager, like, if they, how old's your kid? 13? Everybody does the, right? Yeah. Everybody. You know, you love your kids, but you're like, you already know. 13, you know what it is. They're experiencing all these hormones, this stuff that you're trying to explain. They think they know better than you now because they got Google, you know, like like all this stuff. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. Like you didn't go through these things, right? And so that happens also in Christianity. Yeah. It happens in discipling, right? And I feel like sometimes we don't think that.
Yeah.
You know, we expect them to be 35.
Yeah,
you know, 13. You're 35, you should know how to do all this stuff.
And I think that sucks because the culture that we create, the atmosphere that we create is not one that's centered in the gospel. It becomes something that where we're performing.
Yeah.
Now we're pretending to be okay and pretending to be a certain way, and it doesn't allow room for that, for discipleship or confession or counsel or growth or anything, because now I'm putting up a front. So when I go home, this stuff really comes out.
Facts.
Yeah, that's why some of our people's home life is jacked up. Because sometimes they struggle being who they're, what they're going through in front of people, so that at home it's happening, you know.
If I, right there, I would have put little fire emojis. I'm gonna go like this, yo. Because look, and realistically, you know, the Bible says in James 4:6 that God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. And I always talk about anything in humility. I always think Holy Spirit. Right, humility, because you have to, like, Holy Spirit. Yeah. Pride, I always think, lies, deception, the devil, right? This side,
self.
Everything, self. And so then I would say that pretending is a form of pride and honesty is humility, because truth always, you know, couples itself with the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
And so sometimes, you know, we just think that pride is arrogance, but it's also pretending to be something you're not.
Yeah, facts.
Right? And when you... Interesting, like, in the world, everybody does that.
I think that it's not until you come to Jesus that you're always pretending.
Yeah. You always have to guard yourself from pretending. Even when you're not pretending,
yeah,
you have to guard yourself.
Because you always, and again, from my life, before Christ, like, I wanted to be loved and I wanted to be accepted. So I did what that consisted of. So in that case, I was pretending. I was pretending to be a drug dealer, a dope, whatever.
Yeah, just 50 aliases.
Yeah, just so I could be, yeah, exactly. So wild. I could be loved, yeah.
I think that's trippy. Like, and so we, it's because we think we come out of something and we, like, start going to church and all of a sudden we're not like that no more.
Yeah.
And this process of sanctification and this
come on.
Process of being set apart through the truth and the word of God. And every time I think about this neurologist that, you know, the whole change group thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he was teaching that in the limbic, it could take about a year, from 6 months to a year. Now, check this out, because remember, the limbic is what they consider the heart or the mm-hmm. mind, the center of your being, right? And so it doesn't distinguish the pain between relationship or broken leg, yeah. right? That same area. So to change something, he says, this guy's a Christian neurologist, brain, you know, all this stuff. And he says, to change that, let's say you got to embrace something new. And as often as you do the new, that's how long it could either take you 6 months or a year or longer.
Yeah.
So it's in the application of the new. That's why I always say new things deal with deeply rooted issues.
Yeah.
So when you embrace something new, this is what he says, you're all things new.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
So if you stay in the old, you'll never experience the new. Yeah. So you'll never transform. So when you're really thinking about, like, changing, you have to do, like, if you do the new, it's like going to the gym. If you go, like, once a month, once every 3 months, it just depends how often you do the thing.
Yeah.
But if you do it 3 times a week, that person at some point, the new becomes,
facts,
you know, a new thing.
New
order, you revert. If you do, you know, here, you with me? It takes you longer. So I think, like, a lot of times you got to put yourself out there.
Yeah.
You know how I had said before about me and Ruthie, you know, you almost got to, like, I had to keep putting myself out there and normalize, right? Because I remember this is years ago, man. And I was like, no, because I chose that, you know, and you hear a lot of different people like, oh, you know, you can't tell your wife everything. Like, for me, if she's going to be my wife, like, I could tell you, hey, I'm horny. All you can do is pray for me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't handle the problem, right? I got to talk to her about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got to let her know what I need, what some of my needs are, right?
Where we're at,
yeah. So in anything, bills, right? Anything. This is how I'm feeling. I'm feeling stressed. Like, and I know that there's a lot of sayings on, like, you know, don't do that. But for me, it's worked. But it's taking time. Like, when we first sat down for me to tell her, like, my past and pornography and all that, right? Her, and think about it. She's probably thinking, like, this dude, right? Yeah. But I felt like, how would you even know me? Like, because I think, man, we were like a year married or something.
Mm-hmm.
This is I'm telling you something right here, right? Yeah. So we're sitting at a place, right? And we're eating ice cream. And so this whole big disagreement came out, right? So we're sitting there eating ice cream. And Selena walks in. Not the real Selena.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. You know,
it's like a Selena.
The artificial
yeah.
one?
Yeah. So she came. And I mean, right?
Yeah.
It's Selena, right? So she's there. Boom. There's ice cream and the lady's right here. So I don't know what to do, right? I'm like, I want to look, but I don't want to look. Like, right? My flesh wants to look. I'm just being real,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So now all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm sitting there, and there's a couple people, and I'm thinking Jesus. I really am. I'm like, Jesus. So I do this to my wife. Hey, can we move?
Yeah.
But I can't be like, can we move? Because the big booty girl, yeah, right? So I'm like, yo, can we move? And so she's like, no, I like it right here. And I'm like, no, we really need to move.
Yeah.
And I even get like, right?
Yeah.
And so we don't move. Guess what happens? Guess what happens? I do this. Look, I do this. I go, what are you doing? I come back. Me and Ruthie are like staring at each other. You can tell she gets bothered. Yeah, We're a year in.
Yeah.
My wife, she's trying to grow at this time. I'm trying to figure out, with the growth that I have, how to be married, right? We're a year in, you know, a year, I mean, you know, out of prison, everything, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we get home and I go, are you okay?
Yeah.
And she like doesn't like kick me out or nothing. Yeah. She just like, you know, I can't believe you looked at. And I was like, babe. And so I was like, all right. So that was our first straight up. I said, you need to sit down.
Yeah.
I said, so here I'm struggling. I'm trying to give you the indicator of like, we need to move. I said it again.
Yeah.
Now, am I wrong? Yes. Am I human? And the thing is right there. That's like, it's like a Rolls Royce. You know, I'm like, I get it. I tried everything. And so you don't understand. And I start telling her my past. On all this stuff, and I go, and this is what I'm working on. You know what? After that, not to say like my wife gave me a pass, but I felt like she had an understanding, and she knows now if I tell her like, yo, let's move.
Yeah.
She's not questioning. She's not like, she, I'm telling her, let's move. Like I, it was the same thing with the drinking, right? We would go around, yeah, people, everybody's partying. I wanted to leave early. I could chill until people started getting dumb.
Yeah.
Because I got caught off guard like that too.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, I got caught off guard like that too because I like to play and talk.
Yeah.
And again, I'm like 2 years out.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody's like, yo, they start talking. Hey, mira que, they start vulgar and everything, yeah, right? I jump right in the conversation. I don't even have to be drinking. I'm like, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The next day, they're like, can you believe he said, right? Then I'm like, oh, man, right? Then my wife's still learning, and she's like, wow, you know.
Man of God.
Man of God. Right? Right? I'm like, man, I'm so sorry. Yeah. I go, once it hits a certain time, so we had it, again, my point is, every time I was able to be vulnerable and talk, yeah, and really not have to have a mask on, like I had it all together, we grew.
Yeah, but it's the reality of it. Like, I think sometimes we forget that we are really living in this carnal vessel that wants what it wants. Like, that's the war, the constant war that we face every single day is the war between the spirit and the flesh.
Hey, I'm like, tell me something about you. Like, yo, I already gave you two. I need to hear what that. Come on, take that.
Say something.
Tell me. I want to know. Man, I ain't moving.
I don't even know what to say. Like, that was good. I'm like, man, that's fire.
Is there ever something in your life that
you, there's a lot of things that I've shared with my wife. And not in the aspect of,
hey,
like,
look,
that.
Hey, look, April, yeah, over there said.
There's a lot of things that I've shared with my wife, like, from a vulnerable place that you know, that's changed our marriage. Because, like, I don't know, we got to a place where we had to sit down and talk, especially, like, on the aspect of, you know, you're going to be transparent, of sex. I have a high sex drive.
Yeah.
You know, so even having the conversation of, like, hey, man, like, sometimes she will feel like, that's all you see me as. Like, you just want me for sex, and I'm like, nah, it's not that. Like, cause her mine is high.
I'm working out.
Yeah, yeah. Mine is high, and hers is like not so high. So, yeah, even having the conversation of that, and you know, even with sitting down with you and learning, like, man, this is the only place I'm supposed to be getting it from.
Yeah,
like, we have to have some sort of compromise. It's just important. It's important
to have those conversations.
Yeah,
I know they're hard, and
they
and
are hard.
Your feelings, yeah, the feelings go. That's a point where the feelings go up, and you know they're indicating I'm angry.
Yeah, it's that, and then like affirmation, like encouragement, affection, all those things were conversations that I had to have with my wife to get an understanding of what they meant to both of us and where we could meet,
yeah,
to have them play in our life. Because I mean, the flesh wants what it wants, and sometimes the enemy's cunning and deceiving.
And that's when you actually go to the Lord. It's in those moments.
Facts.
Right? When everything's, because Jesus invites the weary, not the perfect.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't. It says, come to me, all you who are weary, mm-hmm, carry a heavy burden, and I will give you rest. So Jesus didn't say, yo, you have to have it all together to come to me.
Yeah.
Right? We're supposed to go to him every time you're feeling weakness. You, yeah, go to him.
So that's what I said on Sunday. You can't even come to him like that. The only way to come into the presence of God is broken,
yeah,
desperate.
Yeah.
Hungry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sick. Like, that's the only way you encounter him. Well, that's the only way to stay there. So I don't know. But yeah, you're right. It's extremely important for us to be transparent with our wives in any relationship.
And vulnerable. You got to get, yeah, to the vulnerable part. And I'm telling you, there's some people that don't. Like, they just don't. They, yeah, feel like, nah, that's not, you know, that's for my,
what's pride?
I'm going to talk to my friend.
Yeah.
I'm like, nah, that's what I did when I was in the world. Like, I'm going to go to my friend. Yeah. And yeah, you have confidence that you're like, can open up and vent. Yeah.
But I feel like what you said, like, I can tell you like, hey, my wife doesn't show me enough affirmation. Well, what are you going to do for me?
Like, you know what? You look great today. Yeah, because you're mostly with them.
Yeah, exactly. That's who I'm looking for it from. Like, yeah, she gives me, not the fact that she gives me all my worth and all my value, but she gives me a sense of worth and a sense of value. Like,
yeah, it's Jesus through her.
Yeah,
right?
Facts. Yep, yep.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so healing comes. So we have to understand that healing comes through confession, not concealing. Right? So in other words, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. This is wild. I feel like that's why we got to go. We went through this whole season of everybody healing, right? Because we go through pockets.
Yeah,
know,
yeah.
The deliverance and there's the prophetic. You know, whatever's the hot theme that somebody says is the hot theme, right? I would say, I mean, it is what it is,
yeah,
right? I got my identify the lie and all that just through the Bible. Before I read any book by Peter Scazzaro or any of these guys that talk about being healthy. I didn't understand the term being healthy, but I understood, like, I guess when I got out, I would always ask myself questions like, why do I get angry?
Yeah.
Where did I learn to get angry like that? What makes me, where do I get my happiness? You ever ask yourself, like, I just sit there and I would ask that, like, because I knew most of my happiness or joy came from weed, drinking, right? So now I'm like not doing all those things, right? And I'm like, where am I? Because we could easily be like, well, I get my joy from Jesus. But yeah. So, if you're not joyful, then it's, you don't cliche. Get the joy from Jesus. You're just saying it.
Yeah.
So I would ask myself, because I'm like, man, what's wrong with you? Like, it's interesting enough that probably in, I'm going to say since I've been saved, I don't think I've said it once. Like, and now you're going to be like, what? Dun, dun, the show ends. Yeah. Back next week. Tune in. I don't think I've ever said, like, saved, like, I'm bored.
Oh, yeah.
When's the last time you said, hey, I'm bored, right? It's just weird. And I think things like that. I go, man, I don't say that no more.
That's true.
I was like, I used to say that all the time because I really, the truth was I wanted to get into something.
Yeah.
I was pretending.
You're like contemplating.
Yeah. You're always pretending that, well, I could go there. Yeah. And ain't nothing going to happen. That's how you mess up.
Yeah.
Because even in that, you're pretending that you're stronger than what you really know, than what you really are.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yo, I could go out with this girl and go back to the apartment and we're going to pray.
The book of Proverbs.
Oh, no. It probably happens all the time. I'm going to bring a single girl on this day. Because I got to ask about some of these men that I see. Well, I see it on social media when they're like, oh, like I know April, right? Because I know she took the message thing off. And I'm like, why? She's like, man, I'm constantly getting blown up. And I'm thinking, these dudes, I wonder if they still the like thirst. In Christianity, right? Like, yo, let's go to, they're almost pretending to be something when it's really about sex. They're just not. They're not doing it the way the world did it, but they're using it in a sense. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, hey, let's come to my Bible study. And then after that, you want to come to my house? And it's like, wow. Like,
you know what they say too is like, God told me you're my wife. Right?
Hey, look, she started laughing. Hey, we said, how many of those do you get? Like, a week.
Like, man, God told me I have a lot of husbands.
No, and here's the thing. Like, because some people actually pretend that they're coming to church and they're really looking for chicks.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like the church isn't a place for perfect people, right? It's a place for people to be honest. So we got to actually steward that. So in order for, you know, we talk at the office, a lot of Matthew 18, like bringing people together and talking and having this dialogue and bringing Jesus in the middle, right? Those are honest things. Why? Because the truth is, we all love each other. You're just going through something.
Yeah.
So let's help mediate that until the point where you get good enough where you can mediate it with Jesus. Jesus is the mediator, right? And I think, like, you know, man, if you're struggling, tell the dude you're struggling and let him hold you accountable.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Tell the girl you like her. Like, you know, I like you. Yeah. I just got out of a relationship. Don't go in another relationship. Like, I don't know. I feel like these are things that are just normal. And I feel like, now this is going to sound funny, but I'll tell Ruthie this a long time ago. Oh my God, I'm putting all my stuff out there.
Come on.
I feel like, now this is going to sound wild. And I don't know, because I guess because I was in school, all the young girls, all that stuff, right? I'm the older guy going to college, right? And so I already knew I wanted Ruthie, so I played no games. So we would have conversations then where, so then Ruthie later, she goes, you know, I was like nervous that you were going to like pick a girl in college, you know, right? Because you're the older guy, all these young girls, right? They're like, praise the Lord, right?
Yeah.
And like Ruthie's, I'm like, yeah, I just want to be your friend right now. So she's thinking, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
so, like, this dude right here. But, like, I feel like me saved because I did it in the school thing. Like, I feel like I would check people. You get what I'm saying? Like, I feel like I didn't really get a good chance to check, you know, but I feel like sometimes a guy will slow down if the girl would actually check him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like now you're moving too fast. What do you want to have sex?
Yeah.
Like I ain't rocking like that right now. I think it would, you know, like if a girl came, I feel like I would like, yo, nah. Like, funny enough, you know the Ruthie story where I said she thought I was gay or something because I didn't want to have sex.
Yeah.
But it felt, you know what? It was like the first time I actually felt like a man.
Yeah.
Like I don't know how to explain it, but I felt like. Like, nah, we're not going to do this.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, she gets upset.
Yeah.
I've never experienced that in my life. It's always the other way around, right? And so I get to, like, make this decision and be confident of who I am in the Lord.
Amen.
You know, and it felt good.
Amen.
So I know, like, as a single guy, I would have been they would have probably thought I was conceited or something. I would have been like, nah, because I just didn't want nothing to get in. I already know. Yeah. Like, it's crazy. Like in your pretending, there's a cause and effect, right? Yeah. Right? There is. Like, you know for sure right now the things that you pretended before that led you into trouble. Yeah. You know, right now, you know those things.
Yeah.
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much to all the real ones for joining us every single week. You can be a part of the crew by following us on all our social media outlets. Also, you can write us at P.O. Box 671-626, Houston, Texas 77267. And don't forget, stay real.